Amen. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. We're going to continue our little topical study on men in the Scriptures. Joshua, chapter 1. I'd like for us to read verse number 6 and verse number 7. Joshua, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Heavenly Father, we ask now that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, teach us what it means to be a godly man, a mature Christian. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. When we study the Scriptures and we seek understanding concerning what is a godly man, we are referring to the principle of maturity. Maturity. Manhood should be an outward reflection of maturity, that is, maturity inwardly, spiritually. So, ladies, don't feel left out. When we talk about being manly, being godly, we're talking about the principle of spirituality. And yes, we need it from the front. We need men to take the lead. Had somebody ask me this morning, Pastor, this person was a little bit discouraged concerning this issue. The Bible does say that men are to lead. I said, yes, men are to lead. Thank you. I just need somebody to just say it. So we need to be godly leaders, men, and we need to be manly in a spiritual sense. We need to be spiritually mature. Now, one of our memory verses there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 gives us some insight concerning what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be spiritually mature as a man, as an individual? If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I trust that you are trying to commit this to memory. It's a wonderful verse. In verse number 13, the Bible uses the phrase there in verse 13, quit you like men, or act like a man. The word quit there is an old English word which means to be like or to act like. Be a man. How can we be a man? Well, verse 13 teaches us, watch ye, the importance of vigilance, of being alert, being mindful. There are dangers all around us. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And that's the mark of a mature man. He is vigilant. He's not gullible. He's not simple. He understands that we are in a spiritual warfare. And also verse 13 goes on to teach, stand fast in the faith. Stability. Predictability. Stand fast in the faith. A mature man is one that knows what he believes and why he believes it. And he stands fast. He's steadfast in the faith. He is set in concrete what he believes about the Word of God. Earnestly contend for the faith. Because if you are not settled doctrinally, then you are like a child that will be tossed to and fro. A mark of immaturity is instability. And you know, as a general principle, a child is you can lead a child. You could send a child astray far easier than you can send an adult astray. And you and I need to be mature, be steadfast in the faith. And then the Apostle Paul uses that term, be strong. Be strong. In other words, be courageous. The idea of being courageous, being willing to launch out by faith, for example, being courageous. In other words, being prepared to take the lead. That often involves an element of faith. Now, the other week we studied there in 1 Kings chapter 2, please. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2. And we noted the advice that David gives to his son Solomon. David is of mature age and he's about to pass on the kingship to his son. And he encourages him in verse number 2, please. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2. 1 Kings 2, verse 2. I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. So David encouraged his son to be a man, to be strong. There's that phrase again, be strong. Watch ye, be steadfast in the faith, be strong. And here David encourages his son Solomon, be strong. It's about time that we take the role of a man and we act like a man. And so he went on to encourage his son to be fully obedient to God's word. And we stress that principle. That's where it begins. A man of God is fully obedient to the word of God. They do not pick and choose what they will obey and what they will not obey. Also, a man of God is one that is concerned about the next generation. Because David said to Solomon, Solomon, you need to be obedient to the word of God because that there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. You need to think about the future and you need to make sure that you don't break the link. Make sure that you are not that broken link in the chain. So a man of God is one that's thinking ahead. They're thinking about the future. They're considering the next generation. And then David went on to share with young Solomon, Solomon, you need to deal with Joab. Joab needs to be addressed. He has blood, the stains of blood all over him. And you need to deal with him. And he does, the Bible teaches us. You go on and read chapter 2. He deals with Joab. He exercises what we refer to as radical amputation. That's the mark of a man that is prepared to cut when you need to cut. That's what it means to be strong. And that's what he does with Joab. Joab is absolutely uncontrollable. David hasn't been able to control him. And Solomon, I'm going to be a man. How do I control the uncontrollable? Amputate. And that's what he did. And also, Solomon was encouraged by his father. Another mark of a man is kindness. There was a gentleman by the name of Basilia that helped me while I was running from my own son. Absalom was trying to kill me and he cared for me and I tried to offer my assistance to him. But he said, I'm too old to move to Jerusalem and benefit from your generosities. But David never forgot that. And he said to Solomon, Solomon, this gentleman was good to me. I want you to show kindness to his sons. Mark of a man is kindness. That's a true man that knows when to be tough and when to be firm, when to amputate and when to show loving kindness. And last but not least, David said to his son Solomon, there's a man by the name of Shimei. Shimei was one that cursed me, but Shimei asked for mercy and I gave him mercy. And Solomon, I want you to be wise concerning how to deal with Shimei. And Solomon exercises that wisdom and he said to Shimei, I will place you under house arrest. You can build your own home and you need to stay within that home. You're not to leave your home. The day you leave your home, Shimei, you will be judged. Well, two of his servants ran away. And Shimei decided, I'm going to go and catch my servants and bring them back. And King Solomon finds out that Shimei has left the home. He has broken the house arrest guidelines. So what does Solomon do with that? Well, he exercises himself as a man. He makes that tough decision. He said, the Shimei, I gave you the guideline, one simple guideline. Stay within the boundaries of your home. He broke that, and Solomon dealt with him. So Solomon was prepared to make hard decisions. That's the mark of a spiritual man. He's prepared to make tough decisions. He's prepared to be kind. He's prepared to radically amputate when it's needed. He's concerned about the future. And also a man of God, a spiritual man, is fully obedient to the Word of God. And now we note here in Joshua chapter 1, another man of God by the name of Joshua. Joshua is a wonderful example of manhood. And there are some wonderful principles here concerning manhood from the life of Joshua. I want you to note once again, verse number 6, the phrase, be strong and of good courage. It's interesting, that appears once again, be strong, be strong, be strong and of good courage. Then verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. So I'd just like to review some principles of manhood from the life of Joshua, a wonderful man of God. And the first principle I'd like for us to note is to note that Joshua was a man that was prepared to serve. He was a servant. Note then verse number 1, please. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Note then verse number 1, it talks about Moses, the servant of the Lord. Moses was a very meek man. In fact, the Bible refers to him as the meekest man on the earth. Moses was a servant. He had a servant-like attitude. And the Bible teaches us that Joshua was also a servant who was prepared to serve Moses. He was known as Moses' minister or a servant of Moses. And when I think of a godly man, when I think of a man that is reflecting maturity, a mature man, a strong, courageous man, I note that it is a person like Joshua of old, prepared to serve. Prepared to serve. He had a wonderful example in the life of Moses. Moses, the servant of the Lord. What a wonderful commendation. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. So Joshua was prepared to come under. And if you and I are to be worthy servants, then we need to be prepared to come under. See, Joshua was able to take over that responsibility of leading God's people because there was a time that he was prepared to come under. See, if you and I are not prepared to be a servant, we do not qualify to lead others. Because servanthood qualifies us to lead. The Lord Jesus made himself a servant and was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And when I think of a man, I think of the man-like qualities within Joshua, I see a man that was prepared to serve. Joshua followed in the footsteps of his leader, Moses. And there in the wilderness, he and Caleb faithfully served. They faithfully led God's people. Remember, it was only Joshua and Caleb that had the faith to say, to appeal to God's people, let's go in. Let's possess the land. And what a wonderful servant of God. So what does it mean to be a man to serve? And young ladies, as you seek God's will concerning a lifetime spouse, consider Are they a servant? See, for one to be a spiritual leader, they need to be prepared to come under and be prepared to serve. That involves humility. And obviously, Joshua had such humility. He was known as Moses' minister there in verse number 1. Now, as we read on, let's note in verse number 2, another quality in the life of Joshua. We see that he was prepared to fulfill God's calling upon his life. Look at verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Once again, Moses, the servant. Now, therefore, arise, Joshua, go over this Jordan, thou and this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God calls men to specific tasks. God called Adam to care for the Garden of Eden. God called Moses to lead God's people out of Egypt. God called Jeremiah to preach to that remnant that was left behind after the Babylonians came in and destroyed Jerusalem. God called Noah to build an ark. God called Joshua to lead God's people into the promised land. See, Joshua was a man that was called of God. A man that walked with God, a man that knew the will of God, and God said to Moses, you need to arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And I see within the life of Joshua not only servanthood, but one that was prepared in knowing God's will to fulfill God's will for his life. Joshua, I want you to lead my people into the promised land. Let me ask you, men, what has God called you to do? What is God calling you to do? God confirms his will from his precious word, and we stress that principle this morning. God confirmed to Jacob he was to move to Egypt. God said to Jacob, you are to go, I'll build a nation, but surely you will come again. He had the confirmation from the word of God concerning God's will for his life, God's will for his family. And a true man of God is one that not only maintains the spirit of a servant, but they understand what is the will of God, and they're prepared to fulfill that will until the Lord Jesus comes. The Lord Jesus said, occupy till I come. Our Lord is coming back. And faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And what we do on this side of eternity will count for all of eternity. So let me encourage you, be a man, be a mature Christian. Fulfill the will that God has for you. And this was the challenge that was placed before Joshua, arise, go over this Jordan. But God doesn't send Joshua empty-handed. He gives him some promises to cleave unto. Look at verse number 3. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Look at verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea. What's the great sea? The Mediterranean Sea, the border, the great sea. It's often referred to in the Old Testament. Toward the going down of the sun, the great sea, the Mediterranean is on the west of the land of Israel, shall be your coast. So God said to Joshua, I want you to fulfill my calling upon your life, which is to lead my people into the promised land. And I promise you, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, I will give it you. I'm promising you that land. You do not go empty-handed. You go with the promises of God. God had promised them a land. And God said to Joshua, just like he said to Abraham, just like he said to Isaac, just like he said to Jacob and Joseph and Moses, so likewise God said to Joshua, there is a land for you. I want you to go by faith and you will possess it in my strength and in my power because I've promised it to you. And beloved, if God calls you, God enables. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We have a faithful God. He doesn't send us, call us and send us empty-handed. He gives us promises. Note the promise of his presence there in verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Wow, what an assurance. You will be victorious, Joshua. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Wonderful promise. Wonderful promise. God will use one that rests in his promises. And God will not call you and leave you empty-handed, beloved. So the mark of a man, the mark of a spiritual man, is one that's prepared to be a servant, is one that understands the will of God and they fulfill the will of God, and God gives us great and precious promises that we can rest in. God said it, that settles it. He that has the Son has life. That's the truth of the Word of God. Nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Beloved, the Bible is full of promises. That's why we need to stay in the book, do we not? Because this book is full of promises. Wonderful promises. And as you understand what the will of God is for you, and as you meditate in the Word of God, you can cleave unto these wonderful promises. A God who said, I'm not going to desert you. I'm not going to fail you. I'm going to give you what I promised you if you'll simply just obey me. We serve a wonderful God. And note then verse number 5 and 6. The usage of the word I will be with thee as I was with Moses. I will not fail thee. The end of verse 6, I swear unto their fathers to give them. So in verses 5 and 6, God said, I four times. Then we go to verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, be thou strong and of good courage. See, verse number 6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be thou strong and of good courage. I get the feeling that God's trying to encourage Joshua. Be courageous. And you can be courageous because I am with you. I won't fail you. Fear not. I promised you launch out by faith and I will provide. So this is all about God. This is what God will do in the life of Joshua. And he has that wonderful encounter there in chapter 5. Go to chapter 5. Verse Verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you on our side or are you against us? Logical question. Note verse 14. And he said, no, you're wrong on both accounts. No, but I'm a captain. And as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? I'm your captain. I'm your leader. And then the Bible teaches us in verse number 15, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. See, when it comes to a man of God, when it comes to a true man of God, he's not concerned about himself. It's all about God. It's all about God. I will not fail thee. I will be with thee. And when Joshua asked that question, are you for us or are you against us? And the response was, no, you're wrong on both accounts. I'm actually your captain. You need to get on my team. See, it's about me. It's not about you, Joshua. That's the mark of a spiritual man. A man of God, he understands that it's not about him. He understands this is all about God and what God can do in my life for his eternal glory. That's a mark of maturity. No longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. To understand that we are in Christ and we are what we are by the grace of God. And it's not about us. It's about God. And the work of God that he wants to accomplish within your heart and within my heart for his glory, for his eternal glory. If we go back to chapter 1 of Joshua, we note in verse number 8, another mark of manliness, of maturity from the life of Joshua. Not only do we see a man that was a servant, we also see a man that was prepared to fulfill God's calling, a man that rested in God's promises, a man that understood it wasn't about him, it was about what God was going to do, and we just need to jump on God's page. But also, Joshua was encouraged to meditate in the Word of God. Look at verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Joshua had a huge task ahead of him, and God gave him the key to success and prosperity. This is spiritual success. Spiritual prosperity. And what was the key? Joshua, you need to be a man of the book. You need to meditate in my word day and night. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And as you meditate upon my word, as you meditate upon the word of God, Joshua, that you have in your possession, as you meditate and then you seek to obey that word that you meditate, I promise you, you will have good success and you will be prosperous. Spiritual success and prosperity comes by saturating our lives with the Word of God. This is the eternal Word of God. I'm afraid that the average Christian spends more time listening and viewing and watching bad news as opposed to reading the good news of the Word of God. Think about it. It's to our shame. Oh, daily we check the news as if something is going to happen without our notice. Look, if anything happens that's worth knowing, you will know about it. But we need to know God. And we need to spend time in the book. I'm not saying it's wrong to know what's happening around us, but there's got to be a balance. But this is the balance, beloved. We need to meditate in the Word day and night. Quiet time, every morning, every night. You believe that, Pastor? Yes, I do. Every morning you start in the Word of God. Every night you end with the Word of God. I practice that. I believe that. That's what the Bible teaches. Not this 5, 10 minutes, 1, 2, 3, in the morning and out you go. That's nonsense. Meditation takes time. Memorize, analyze, personalize. Where you read the book and you get stuck. I was in 1 Kings chapter 5 this morning. I got stuck. And I thank God that there was no life stages. So I would have been very late for life stages. And I got stuck how God was preparing and providing for Solomon to build the temple. And I thought about the fact, hey, if God can provide for Solomon to build that glorious temple, surely God can provide for Metropolitan Baptist Church to build His church. And I just got stuck there. I just thought about the goodness of God and the power of God and how God provided wonderfully and abundantly for Solomon. And I thought, thank God, if God can provide for Solomon of old, God can provide for me and God can provide for you. But that comes through meditation, meditating in the book, meditating in the book. Spend time in the book. Meditate day and night. And what does God promise us? Good success and prosperity. Because God's word is eternal. God's word is eternal. It's powerful. And if you will fill your heart and life with the precious word of God, then God will bless. Look at verse number 10, please. Joshua 1:10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals or food supplies for within three days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Joshua was a man of God. He took God at His word. And he took the challenge to meditate in God's word day and night. And he understood that I need to meditate and I need to obey. And I thought about Solomon this morning. And I thought about, wow, that God had promised him all that he needed to build this glorious temple. But Solomon needed to move ahead. And I thought about the fact, yes, we need to move ahead. When God guides you, you just need to move ahead. And this is what Joshua does here. He tells his people, okay, let's get ready. Let's pack our lunches. We're going. We're going to cross that Jordan. We're going in. We're going to take possession of that land because God has promised it. Here's a wonderful example of a man. Joshua was truly a man of God, a servant, a man that knew his calling and was prepared to fulfill it. One that rested in the promises of God. One that knew his position. It wasn't about Joshua. It was all about God and God's will. And also Joshua was prepared to take the challenge that I need to meditate in God's word day and night. And then I'll have good success and be prosperous. The man that God uses is a man like Joshua of old. So men, let me encourage you. to man up. Let me encourage you to man up, to be strong and to be courageous. Don't underestimate the importance of being a servant. Work out what God has for you and do it. Rest in the promises of God. If God calls you, He will give you promises from His Word. And remember, it's not about you, it's about God and God's glory, whatever that calling is. And last but not least, this is a miracle book. And if we will meditate in this book day and night, we meditate. We don't just read, we meditate. We think, we ponder, we consider. And then we obey what was pondered upon. And God promises to prosper us and have good success. For those of you that are married, you want good success. You want prosperity. This is the key. You young people, you want to be prosperous and have good success? You want the blessing of God upon your life? Meditate in this book day and night and seek to obey it, and God will bless you. Joshua was a wonderful man of God. May God help us to be manly. May God help us to be mature. Let's note these wonderful principles from the life of Joshua. Let's bow for prayer.